This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. With your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Again, Richard Battle live with us today. Normally he calls in, or normally Charlie's calling him at about this time, Richard, but or even a minute or two prior to now. But Richard's actually in studio with us. We have our event tonight that we're going to be out at Artisan Pizza for. So if you want more information on that, just go to the website, rushtoreason.com, look under events, and it's all right there, and producer Ann will be there as well.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be a great time.
Hopefully a lot of folks show up. I know there's a lot of great sponsors that will be there tonight as well. So come by, say hi, and get some books. Richard's got to have his book there tonight. And we've got some other giveaways as well, things that will pull your name out of the fishbowl and so on. So Ann's in charge of all of that. So don't let me be in charge of any of that. That's all.
I'm in charge.
You. That's you.
I have absolute
After
power.
After I go off air, I'm not in charge anymore. Somebody else is. I'm done at that point.
I'm glad to get to see the inside baseball that I don't get to see when we do a remote interview.
Is it real? It's not exciting, actually. It's just, you know.
It's a lot more fun being here.
There's a lot of things.
Not that it isn't fun otherwise, but it's even more fun.
There's more moving pieces than probably most people realize.
Yes.
Is there not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes most people don't see. And Charlie, by the way, he gets the credit for all that because he does a great job keeping me straightened out. So dream and dare. Dream and dare. That's our topic today.
Well, yes. And we hear people talk about dare to dream a lot of times. And as we get ready to go to a new year, people will be thinking about New Year's resolutions
always.
And goals and things that they want to do. And we've talked about this type of situation before, but this is a different approach. And to me, a dream is worthless without daring the effort
so
to make
it happen. Risk versus reward.
Absolutely.
Side of the fence. No risk means very little reward. And frankly, folks, this is sort of, in my opinion, where our current administrators, plural, I mean, across the board in the United States of America, I really feel like, and I've even explained this to others, I feel like we've entered this age where people are willing to give up their freedom because having COVID might be too much of a risk. So we're willing to give up all these freedoms just to be quote-unquote safe. It's that, again, risk versus reward. And folks, it doesn't work that way. You're going to end up with an oppressed society if we continue to go that direction, because without risk, there's no fun.
Well, absolutely. And not only that, but our culture discourages people from daring and failing. Whereas
right.
we need to, when we fail or other people fail, we need to lift them up,
That's right.
coach them up, send them back in the game, and let them perform, because most people who have been super successful have failed multiple times.
Right. And folks, that applies. You've heard all the stories. There's movies even coming out. In fact, this Christmas, I reviewed it a couple of weeks ago. You heard me talking about it, and that's the movie about Kurt Warner that'll be out Christmas Day. Another great example of an individual sports athlete, a professional athlete, that really failed numerous times.
Yeah.
Fortunately, listened to those folks that were around him telling what to do, what to change, and so on. But he failed miserably numerous times until finally winning a Super Bowl. Another great example of that.
Yeah, yes. And there are so many, and that's why we need to study history. And we need to study people who failed and succeeded, people who dared greatly and persevered. Yeah. I was talking earlier today about the Wright brothers.
Yes.
And what was so amazing to me about that, here they have a bicycle shop. They don't know how to build a motorized plane, but they teach themselves.
Right.
There's no government involvement at all. They fail, 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 and then succeed over and over and over again.
That's right.
And people had to discourage them from their efforts because they had a bicycle shop. Who are they to build an airplane?
Richard, we wouldn't have the majority of what we enjoy today, technologically speaking, the advancements we have, the things that we have done in the past, even 100 years, we could say 150 to 200 years, but really the things we've done even in 50 years, we wouldn't have those without what you're talking about.
Yes, and that's one of the entries that I have in Life's Daily Treasure. One of the six is celebrating an anniversary of a great American event,
yeah,
or the birthday of a great American who contributed something to this great life that we have. And so many people, again, are discouraged from trying something because of failure. And the pain of regret cuts deeper and lasts longer than the pain of failure. The things I regret hurt me more now than the things I failed at.
So how do we get people past that? You know, you say it in the notes even here. Thunder without lightning is nothing. So how do we get people to dream? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be risk aware. I think that's the right word to use. Is you've got to be aware of those risks. I mean, the Wright brothers were. They realized they could get in that homemade airplane, if you would, and die. They knew what the risks were. Now, how calculated were they? I'm not them. I don't know what they went through in determining that. But what I do know is at some point, you've got to put the calculations aside and know, yes, this is the risk, and I'm still going to move forward, right?
Well, and I think it's so important as parents, as leaders in businesses and in nonprofits, in other kinds of activities to encourage people to take risk, to let them know that failure, you're going to fail in life. We all are going to fail in life.
Right.
And the question is, what happens after that? Do we learn from it and get back in the game and go do something better? Or do we quit? And we only fail when we quit.
That's right.
I would like to add something. You keep talking about the Wright brothers, and you know my dad passed away,
right,
and he got the Master Pilot Award from the FAA flying at 17 years old.
Wow.
He had his license. With 4 hours and 45 minutes, he was soloing.
Wow.
So this was his thing. But he sent me this one time. He gave me some advice. He said, honey, you're probably going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
But you got to keep on trying.
Yeah.
If you get it right, thank the good Lord because you got lucky.
Yeah.
I think what he was trying to say is you have my permission to fail.
Yeah.
And that's
Amen.
What we have to do.
Amen. Yeah, and it's going to happen, folks. I mean, I think all of us in this, I mean, I know for me, Richard, I know your story as well. Anne, I know yours. Charlie's as well. Failure is just part of life, folks. They're going to happen. If you meet a person that's been successful at every single thing they've ever done, they're either lying or they're a trust fund kid. One of the, and being honest, folks, one of the two, because there's no way to get ahead in life without failing.
Yeah, and another thing I think that people don't appreciate is sometimes a dream delayed is not a dream denied, in my opinion.
Right, I agree.
There are certain people I know in the civil rights movement that try to say a dream delayed is a dream denied because of what they've experienced. But I've had things that I succeeded at that I know if I would have tried earlier, I would have failed and never had the same amount of success. So just because you don't have the opportunity today, keep working and preparing, and you never know when that opportunity may come to fulfill that dream.
And I think the majority of us, like us sitting here, by the way, can also do the opposite. I can go back and look at things where I wasn't willing to take the risk to do X, so in turn I didn't, and who knows how things would have turned out had I. I'll give you an example in my own world. I had the opportunity at one point in time, very early in my business ownership career, I could have been a John Deere dealer. Now, most of you that understand what that means, and there's some connotations good and bad to that, I get it, and I'm not going to get into all those details today, but at that time, and literally for the multitudes of years after, would have probably been a pretty good decision to have been a John dealer in the Boulder Valley area at that time. Things probably would have been a lot different for me had I done it. Not that they didn't turn out okay because of the other things that I did and the decisions that were made, but I passed up the opportunity because of that risk end of things and being a John Deere dealer back in about 1988. Big mistake, by the way, I feel today.
Well, and that's where we have the opportunity to share with the coming generations that that can happen, and don't let that deter you.
Right.
And
that's right.
Dream, fail, pick yourself up, and go for it. The secret of success in life is not how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get back up.
I agree.
And how you respond to adversity.
We have more examples of this, by the way. We'll talk to Richard on in just a moment. So don't go anywhere, folks. Stay tuned. If you got a comment on something, feel free to call in, by the way, 303-477-5600. Typically don't get a chance to talk to Richard because we're talking and we're interviewing and doing different things. But lines are open. If you want to call in and speak with Richard directly, feel free to do so or text us a question as well. But RoofMax is next. And I'll tell you right now, Dave is a guy that, for those of you that may not know this, Dave came to me early on, right after he decided to become a RoofMax distributor, and said, John, I hear you on the radio. I'm taking the plunge. I'm going to do some of the things that you even talk about on the radio on your program, and here's the direction I'm going. I also would like to start running some ads and do some things along those lines and get your advice. And he did exactly, Richard, what you're talking about. He took that risk, became a RoofMax distributor. RoofMax was not known much in Colorado at that point. It's gotten much better because of the hard work Dave has put in. But it's still, in a lot of ways, people don't know what that product is. They don't know the value and what it will do to their roof and the longevity of that product and how it makes your roof last that much longer. Nobody really knows that. So Dave really went out on a limb, took a risk, if you would, to become a RoofMax dealer, but I think it's finally paying dividends for him. And it's a great product, by the way, folks. If you'd like a free roof inspection, find out whether you're a candidate for that, give him a call today, 303-710-6916, or find him on our website, rushtoreason.com/roof.
RoofMax is the fountain of youth for your roof. 90% of roofs replaced nationwide no longer need to be replaced, which would drastically reduce the materials in the landfills and resources from our planet to manufacture new shingles. By keeping your shingles in like-new condition, RoofMax is seeing on a national level a huge increase in protection against hail and wind damage. Most shingles these days are only getting 6 to 8 years of life before they start to dry out, lose the protective granules, and experience thermal cracking. With the RoofMax treatment, you can get a lot more life out of your roof. In most cases, RoofMax will add 15 years or more, saving you thousands of dollars and drastically reducing the number of insurance claims, which helps everyone keep insurance premium costs down. Call today at 303-710-6916 to schedule your free roof assessment, and be sure to mention you heard about them on KLZ to receive $100 off your RoofMax treatment.
All right, affordable interest mortgage. He's going to take a couple of minutes here, too, and talk about Kurt Rogers, which you guys hear me talk about him a lot. But Ann has been in this world a lot in your life, right?
Yes, and I just went through my own refinance, and I'm self-employed. Oh, my goodness. You guys need to go through Kurt. What they put me through with my self-employment, I mean, I've been at it 9 years, 10 years, and
doesn't
two
matter.
Different businesses. Oh, my goodness, no. So call Kurt if you are self-employed. Save the pain and
yes.
agony.
And when Ann says pain and agony, please make sure that you're listening to her. If you're self-employed, most of you understand what we mean by that. But by the way, those of you that aren't self-employed, and I read something yesterday where a lot of folks that are quitting their jobs are doing so to go work for themselves. Well, let me give you a little tip on that. If you're thinking about doing anything financially speaking when it comes to loans or mortgages, buying a car, buying a house, refinancing the house, anything along those lines, let me give you a little piece of advice. Do that prior to quitting your job. Otherwise, you're not going to do it, folks.
No, they even...
Richard's nodding. He knows yes, exactly what
absolutely.
I mean.
Absolutely.
I had my bottom line 2 years tax returns, and they still docked income off my personal returns. So I know if somebody like Kurt, he's going to stand up for you and get your loan and work with you on your loan.
And yeah, thank you for saying that. The one thing about Kurt is once you develop, and this is why having a relationship with somebody is so key, once he learns about you, he knows who you are, he's looking at your financial documents, he can build a story for you and about you with the underwriter. Because keep in mind, folks, it's not the broker that's making the decisions as to whether or not you get your loan approved. That's all done through a underwriter. You guys all know that. There's really no secrets there. We tend to get mad at the brokers, you know, the messenger, if you would. But it's not their decision, because if a lot of them had their way, they'd approve a lot of the people because they know them. They know they're good for it. You know, they've got a relationship there, and they would make that happen. But Kurt will work on your behalf with the underwriter because of that relationship. And I'll tell you right now, folks, the typical person that you're going online and finding or even making a phone call here locally to, you're not going to have that same relationship with. Richard, you know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, it's an advocate. You need an advocate because you can't talk to the underwriter.
Right.
And they are looking to eliminate risk.
They don't want it. Yeah, we're talking about risk. They don't want any. They're in the financial world. Mm-hmm. They want every single loan they put out to be repaid. And by the way, I can't blame them. I wouldn't do it any differently if I was in their shoes. But they want little to zero risk at all, right?
Absolutely.
That's their
they
goal.
Want no risk because they get judged and bonused based on
that's
risk
exactly
and failure.
Right. That's exactly right. So again, yeah, I like the term. In fact, I'm going to steal that from you and start using that in the future with Kurt, Richard. I'm going to start using that advocate. You need an advocate. And those of you that are self-employed, and Ann knows this, and I know this. Richard knows it. He's self-employed. I mean, literally. And I mean what I said a moment ago, too. If you're thinking about doing your own thing, please make sure that all of your financial house is in order when it comes to all of that, because if it's not, you will wish it had been afterwards. So affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Rates are low, but are you still paying too much interest? Why continue to pay most of your interest up front like a conventional loan when you can use the asset manager to save thousands in unnecessary interest costs? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. The asset manager is a simple interest loan, which means when your payoff decreases, your payment decreases, and so does your interest. Our clients are paying off their home in half the time. They're not changing their spending habits, and they have access to their equity for 30 years, even after it's paid off. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Think about it. This simple interest loan allows you to own your home faster, access your equity for 30 years, which means never having to refinance over and over and over again to pay off debts or for home improvements. No more requalifying, no more additional cost. Call 720-895-0500, Affordable Interest Mortgage, and see for yourself. You're in control, not the bank. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Yes.
Yep. And you're right. 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 You really have to play that. Yeah, you're right a lot. I'm wrong a lot. I already know that.
Richard, that's why he charges me. That's why I have to send Charlie money.
Okay, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
And with
it's a paid promotion.
Ann.
But it works for my kids, so I'm
good.
All in on it.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, producer Ann with us. She'll be with us tonight out at our get-together we're going to have out at Artisan Pizza afterwards. Richard Battle also with us in studio. And we got a few more minutes here before our next guest joins us. And let's finish up this dream and dare. And by the way, this is a topic, literally, Richard, we could cover almost three straight hours, and I'm not exaggerating, because of all of the ins and outs and things that go with it. And really where we as a society, I believe, in the United States of America have gotten. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody please correct me. Outside of some of the things we've done with space, which, by the way, isn't – let me be careful how I say this. I don't want to step on toes. What SpaceX and, Bezos' company have done is great. I'm not taking anything away from them, especially how they've learned how to re-land a rocket and some of the things they've done there. Yeah, they have done fabulous. But it's not new. I mean – landing a rocket back to Earth is new. I get that. But overall, going to space is not new. I was watching that on the TV when I was, back in the 60s.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that it's not innovative and it's not great what they're doing, because it is. But I'm afraid, Richard, and this I wanted to ask you this when you were here today, because I really do feel like as a country right now, because of where we're at, not only with COVID, but government intrusion and all the regulations and the things that they're telling, businesses what they can and can't do, I'm afraid we've lost some of our cutting edge innovation that we as a country have always been known for. I haven't seen that the last few years. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct. President Trump took the opposite approach, and he shed a lot of the barriers, and people were exercising more entrepreneurial spirit. But the new administration and the one before President Trump, they put a stranglehold and they discouraged people starting businesses because of regulations, taxes, all the red tape that's involved. People say it's a lot easier not to have to deal with all that.
Right.
And so not only do they pay, but their communities pay and the whole country pays. And we don't not only pay today, but we pay for generations
right.
in the future because
right.
it discourages and thwarts innovation.
I mean, there's things I've done recently where, again, I'm not whining, I'm not complaining, but you would think in the day and age we live in, my son and I were talking about this the other day, I can still drive through the Denver metro area and hit dead spots on a cell phone. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord Almighty, we live in 2021, almost 2022. and you still have dead spots on your cell phone. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, there's plenty of opportunities to correct things like that, as well as other products, and we've got to get government out of the way.
Agreed.
And the supply chain is a good example right
now. It's not a great example.
The energy situation is another great example that the government this year has gotten in the way of people who can solve the problem if they're just left alone.
And we need to encourage them to solve these problems and get government out of the way. Government, that's my fear with even the vaccines and all the things that have gone on that way. Anytime government gets involved, they screw it up. They just do.
Yes, they do. And then they want you to reelect them so they can fix it.
So they can screw
yeah, they caused the problem so they can come in and be the heroes.
Again, my fear, and I hope we get past this because we have been known as a nation for a long, long time that innovates and does things no other nation does. And I want to make sure we stay that way.
I would just like to tie something in together that Richard had mentioned earlier and you have throughout the show and previous shows. You talk about generations having to pay for things, and we talk about COVID and how they just put the COVID fear into everybody. And we talk about 75% of Christians are living in fear, right? Was that the stat that was recent?
Yes.
I remember when this first came out, I had a conversation with a very devout Christian friend of mine. And I said, Lisa, a free society is more important than me.
Yes.
It is more important than my kids.
Agree.
It is more important than anybody here, because we are talking about generations to come. And if you can't live in freedom, there goes your religion.
Right.
There goes everything you've ever wanted.
That's
goes
right.
your opportunity to do things and to make humanity better and new products for people because of all the government regulations.
Right.
It just suffocates everybody.
That's right. You're right.
And I never in a time knew when we sacrificed the children for the adults.
Well, I have to interject. Former mentor and a past Texas Attorney General John Ben Shepherd said long ago, to be born free is an accident. To live free is a responsibility.
Amen.
But to die free is an obligation.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
And that is, I mean, every time I hear that quote, it gives me chills, because we have an obligation to our children and their children to leave behind the gift that we've been given.
And folks, if you go back through, and Richard and I could go through example after example after example, one of the best known, by the way, when it came to failure and succeeding, because literally he wanted to succeed, was Walt Disney himself. You know, whether you like the guy or don't like the guy, he figured out how to make it happen.
Well, I'm glad we get to finish up on that, because everyone looks at what Disney organization is and they just think how successful. But Walt Disney, I mean, he went bankrupt.
Dismal failure.
People told him he had no talent.
That's right. He couldn't draw.
He had characters stolen from him.
That's right.
Strikes, all kinds of challenges that he overcame. And he said, sometimes, whether you know it or not, the best thing that can happen to you is get a kick in the teeth. And so he overcame all of that for that dream and
that
vision. And to me, when we set a goal, even if we don't achieve the goal, we'll always achieve more than if we didn't set a goal.
Amen.
And so whether we set a goal to be the next Walt Disney, even if we don't achieve that, we're going to achieve more than if we don't try.
Correct. Dreams are marvelous but worthless unless we dare to pursue them. That's what you've got in the notes. I'll end it with that.
That's a great thing to say. And as we always say at the end, God bless America.
That's right. Hannah's going to join us in just one moment. I talked about her earlier and her story, so don't go anywhere. We'll come back and talk about that in a moment. Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage professor. And I know he's a reverse mortgage broker, but literally, that's all he does. He knows reverse mortgages better than anybody I've ever talked to. Do not rely on the people in your family, the water cooler, at work, whoever. Get the straight skinny from Bruce as to how they work and whether it's a good fit for you. 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
Ask Bruce Simmons to explain how a reverse mortgage line of credit could lock in your home's value. You've been hearing about the potential for housing prices to start dropping, but so far, all you've done is gain more value. A reverse mortgage line of credit eliminates the fear of decreasing home values. No matter what happens to the housing market, your reverse mortgage line of credit won't lose a penny. Let's say your value continues to increase over the next few years. No problem. Call Bruce back to refinance at the new, higher value for even more benefit. But should your home lose value, say we hit another recession like in 2008, you have the peace of mind that you still have the full amount of your line of credit guaranteed. Bruce Simmons has been doing nothing but reverse mortgages for 18 years. Ask him to explain how it works. KLZradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, who's going to be with us, by the way, at our event right after the show tonight out in Artisan Pizza in Parker. So come by and say hi to Al. In the meantime, klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
You've been saving for retirement your entire career. Now it's time to take some of your winnings off the table. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a tax-efficient retirement plan. You've never had much need for a financial advisor in the past because you have primarily contributed to your company's 401k or IRA. Now you're looking to the future. You know those accounts will be fully taxable once you retire, and taxes could be a pretty big chunk. Now's the time to start thinking about converting at least a portion of your nest egg into tax-free accounts. Your company's retirement plan has served you well, but you don't need to leave your nest egg there forever. In fact, it may be in your best interest to move some of that money before you retire. Find out how you could move into a lower tax bracket. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith at klzradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, folks, G-Reminders, I talked about it in the last hour. I do all the time, by the way. It's a great reminder system to get rid of your no-shows on your calendar, and it works. We've got a discount code, by the way. Just go to rushtoreason.com and click on G-Reminders.
It's so easy, you don't even need to think about it. G-Reminders has one goal, to eliminate wasted time and money by reminding your customers about their appointments. They don't want you to spend a lot of time editing the reminders. That would defeat the purpose. So G-Reminders has created a dynamic system unique to the industry that requires almost no effort on your part. You move an appointment on your calendar, G-Reminders will automatically update to reflect those changes. Sign up now for 10% off your first year at greminders.com/KLZ.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Welcome back, and we appreciate all of you joining us. And we've got a very special guest. I did not get a chance to promo this because we didn't have everything all dialed in a couple of days ago when we set this up. But Hannah S. is joining us, and Clayton Trotter, the attorney. And it was a day today that involved, Hannah, we'll start with you, that involved you and your story. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, today was a big day at the Supreme Court, and my story, we wrote an amicus brief in support of Mississippi, and my story, being the first adopted frozen embryo, really paid testimony to viability and that life begins at conception.
Okay, so you are the first adopted frozen embryo, and had to even have, I think your folks even had to go through the process of even creating laws that allowed that. Am I right in saying that, Hannah?
Yes, they went along with my their adoption attorney, Ron Stoddard, to create an adoption agreement. So they were the first to do that with Nightlight Christian Adoptions.
All right. Clayton Trotter, you're the attorney, and you're the one that is, you know, helping with all of this and presenting these things. I guess I'll just ask you to start with, Clayton, welcome to Rush to Reason, by the way, but how do you think today went, and do you think what you guys did will have a positive effect?
I think today went fairly well. I mean, we won't know until June, I guess, next year.
Right.
But I was pleased with the performance of the Mississippi lawyers. They closed real well. It's obviously, they're obviously asking for Roe v. Wade to be overturned, and that's the right thing to be asking for.
I agree.
So now the court doesn't have to do that. I mean, they could do a lot of things falling short of that, but at least it's before the court. And it seemed to me, now this is just, you know, you're always trying to guess at what people are thinking and so forth, but it seemed to me that the I guess we'd call it the pro-abortion side of the court was kind of on the defensive. I mean, I think they were saying, well, stare decisis, and, you know, we can't change things and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't seem that the whole court was, you know.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that, Clay, because I've read some of those same things as well, you know, where you know, Sotomayor even, you know, came really in kind of a, if you would, presented the fact that, well, it's, she kind of gave the old church analogy. It's always been done this way, so we've got to keep doing it this way, which, by the way, Clayton, I think is a really, really weak defense for something. If we thought that about bloodletting, I'm not sure where we'd be as a society today, because for years that's what everybody thought was the right thing to do to make sure we could all be healed and feel better. But at the end of the day, we finally realized that that ain't working, and we better change our ways. I really feel like with abortion and the amount of technology we now have and the ability to not only see things like what Hannah has become from a frozen embryo, but on top of that, just to be able to see a baby, and I hate using the word embryo because they're babies from conception, and you can see that at such a very, 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 I mean, weeks old age now, Clayton, that has to have some bearing now.
Absolutely. And, you know, the court, to me, kind of hid behind, oh, we don't know when life begins and all that sort of thing in Roe. And, you know, it was kind of fuzzy and, well, we're just not certain and so forth. But they can't do that today.
They can't. I mean, that's right.
Everybody knows it's a baby. It's a baby from the moment of conception. In fact, one of the last interviews I did, they had a camera and I held up a picture of Hannah as an embryo. And then I held up a picture of her as a 22-year-old graduate student.
Amen.
In the university. I mean, she was obviously viable when she was an embryo, and yep. She's obviously viable now.
Amen.
And it's a fact. It's a biological fact.
That's right.
You know, it's interesting in the argument. They said, well, you know, we like this idea of viability because it's a determinable thing. It's a bright line, if you will. And we don't get into the philosophical discussions of when life begins. Hmm. It's not philosophical.
No.
Life begins at conception.
Right.
That's not a philosophy. That's biology.
It's a fact.
So anyway.
Yeah. So Hannah, I want to ask you real quick. So, Hannah, in your world, what got you to this point where you wanted to, you know, have something about you written, put before the court? Was this something you guys did on your own? Did you feel, in other words, you know, why? How did you get involved in this?
You know, we've always really been involved in pro-life matters from the day I was born, really, speaking up for the lives that can't speak for themselves.
Amen.
We really felt that God called us to such a time as this to share our story and share our story through the brief, through the Justice Foundation. And so it was such an honor to be a part of this and reversing Roe.
You know what? Thank you, by the way, for doing that. What you just said a moment ago, I believe wholeheartedly in. You know, these are lives that cannot speak for themselves. They cannot, you know, they have no voice. We're the only voice they have, and I do believe their lives. And I think I talked about this on we do a National Crawford Roundtable with several hosts here. Roger Marsh, who you guys have already talked to before, he's one of the hosts, and we debate and talk about all sorts of things. Today we were very unified, though, when it comes to Roe v. Wade and what's going on at the Supreme Court today. But what I said today, and I really mean it, is, you know, we have done, especially the United States of America, we have done such an injustice. And as a Christian employer myself, we have literally killed off millions of workers. And I'm not using that in a negative way. I'm using that in a positive way, guys. Workers we need. It's what we need as a country. It's what we need as a society to not only stay free, but to continue to keep things moving forward with families and so on. And the reality is we need more babies, not less of them. Abortion has killed that, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So I commend you for what you're doing, Hannah. Now I have a, maybe this is a dumb question because I haven't read everything about all of this. How many weeks old as a frozen embryo were you when your folks adopted you, Hannah?
That's when I was adopted. I mean, I wasn't weeks old. I was just a group of cells.
So you literally were basically conceived and then adopted. Am I saying that the right way?
And Frozen.
And Frozen. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I want to make sure we add that part of it in there. And again, I look at all of this, and Clayton, you can respond to this as well. But I look at all of this, and first of all, I have a hard time just wrapping my brain around how all of this even works. And Hannah, how you're here today doing the things that you do, which, again, I commend you. But Clayton, I think Hannah in and of herself, if the Supreme Court doesn't look at that and say this is when life begins, they're utter morons. Sorry, they might be some of the smartest minds legally speaking, but they're utter morons, Clayton.
Well, they're denying the truth that's right in front of them. Hannah is standing literally, I mean, or figuratively, standing before the court as a former frozen embryo who is now saying it would be wrong to destroy me. And if they can't figure that out, there's really something wrong with them.
Agreed.
I agree with you. And that's what I thought. I was a first-year law student when Roe v. Wade was decided, and I almost resigned from law school, and that was 50 years ago.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe that the quote-unquote most august members of the profession I was about to spend another 2 years of my life trying to join didn't know what a baby was, or worse, didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I think it's the latter, by the way. Ann, you have a comment or question.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm going to try to word this the best I can.
And ask specifically who you want to talk to.
Okay, so I guess to Clayton. So if they invalidate her as a frozen embryo of having rights, the right to life, can't that just go move forward in history or forward in time and say, you're not valid now as a person because we didn't validate you then?
Well, I don't think so. I think at least given the state of the law now, once you're born, they recognize you as a person. And then they say, well, you have rights once you're born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with Roe and the whole framework is that this viability depends on technology. Technology kept Hannah alive. She was conceived in a Petri dish. She was, but the technology kept her alive so that she could be implanted in her adopted mother's womb.
Right.
And then be born and become a graduate student. But it was technology that did that. Well, we now have artificial wombs that we have put sheep into.
True.
And little baby lambs are running around, you know, that came out of artificial wombs. Well, you know, if we spent $500 million a year trying to figure out how to advance artificial womb technology, we wouldn't have to abort a single baby.
Right.
Why don't we do that instead of spending $500 million a year killing babies by giving that money to Planned Parenthood?
Well, the other thing, Clayton, too, is that I don't, you know, that particular argument about technology is what keeps her alive. And I get it. It did. And I fully understand that. Yeah. But technology keeps a lot of us alive in a lot of other areas. You know, my dad and uncle both have pacemakers. That is technology that to this day is keeping both of them alive. That we didn't really have that technology 75 years ago, even, Clayton? That didn't exist. You wouldn't have kept them alive then. So we use technology to advance life on an ongoing basis. This is no different, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and sooner or later, that technology will apply to humans. They are going to put a baby in an artificial womb and grow it to maturity. That's going to happen.
True.
Well, you know, but the whole point is, though, legally, this quote-unquote legal standard that's supposed to be immutable and based on the Constitution and law isn't immutable.
Mm-hmm.
It's changeable. Depending on technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a standard.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And if it is a standard, it's an enormously flexible standard.
Right.
Okay? And so, you know, it's just irrational in my opinion.
I agree. And I understand. I mean, I coming from the side, and everybody knows this that's listened to me for any length of time, I mean, I'm somebody that believes in pro-choice, by the way. Pro-choice of the baby. Because if we don't give them a choice and we take that away, in my opinion, it's called murder. So I'm pro-choice for the baby. I think every baby is viable. And that's just how I see things. I talked about that on the roundtable today. That's my own belief system. So everybody knows what side of the fence, you know, that I come from. But Clayton, the further down the road we get, and Hannah, you are proof of this, the further down the road we get and the more we learn about the development of those two, you know, the sperm and the egg coming together and what happens immediately upon that point in time and the cell divisions that start immediately right after that, Clayton, there's no denying when life begins. This is an easy conversation, in my opinion.
Biologically, there's no doubt. I mean, there's simply no doubt. I agree with you.
So, go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
It just demonstrates that in Washington, the only science that matters is political science.
That's true. That is very true. Hannah, by the way, again, thank you so much for joining us. You have been not only a blessing to me, but and I'll say this, a blessing to a lot of unborn kids around this world, and probably to a lot of kids that have been born because of the work that you have done. So thank you very much, Hannah, for what you've done. I mean that sincerely.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Hannah, take care. Clayton, also, thank you for joining us. You guys are welcome back. And maybe as we get a little bit closer on when things come out this next summer, we'll have you back. I'd love to have you, sir.
Sounds great.
Clayton, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Guys, hang tight. We'll come right back. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is up next. Anything you need when it comes to your HVAC, your electrical, anything you need. And don't forget to ask about the Absolute Advantage membership, 720-526-0231 or klzradio.com.
Increase comfortability in your home with a UV air purifying system from Absolute. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air offers dynamic air solutions you won't find at most HVAC companies. Unfortunately, not all air purification products deliver on their promises. Before selecting a product, the team at Absolute personally met with the scientists who developed the technology, installing systems in their own homes to make sure they really work. The science makes sense. Your ultraviolet purifier attaches to your furnace, killing particles like dust, mold, and even most viruses at the source before the air blows through your vents into the rest of your house. One small unit purifies the air throughout your home, eliminating odors. Call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air today for an air purifier that works. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Before you sell a house, you clean up the front to maximize the sale price with curb appeal. Before you sell a business, you get organized so buyers can see their potential earnings clearly. Buyers want to purchase an investment, not a job. To make your company more attractive to a buyer, your business needs to run smoothly without you. Hire John Rush as your personal business coach before you sell to maximize your profits. Email John at rushtoreason.com for one free session.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Richard Battle, and producer Ann with us today. Don't forget the event we have coming up right after the show tonight, Artisan Pizza in Parker. John Littleton, though, you're next.
Hi there. First off, love the show.
Thank you.
My question goes back to just what you were saying before the break. I was just curious what your opinion of Plan B or the morning after pill is, because I believe that's the number one way to reduce abortions in this country.
It's essentially, from what I understand about it, it's because it's a mini abortion. And I realize that there's a lot of things that go into this conversation. You know, in some cases, they'll tell you that it never allows the embryo to implant, and or the embryo that's there, those cells are, it's essentially a miscarriage. And so on, and I am not a contraceptive expert by any way, shape, or form, John. And I'm way beyond all of that, even in my own life. So I'm not an expert when it comes to all of that at all.
So I actually am an expert on it. And so are you against? So the morning after pill works exactly the way that the normal birth control pill works. Are you against?
See, I don't believe that it works exactly the way a regular birth control. What I've read, it's not exactly the same. And Anne's, you know, a woman, she would know this better than I.
Prevents implantation.
John, no, that's not entirely true. The embryo can be implanted. Go to Abby Johnson. I think it's abbyjohnson.com. She used to work at Planned Parenthood, and the movie Unplanned was about her. She gave her own testimony about taking Plan B and how she basically, it's pretty graphic what happened to her from taking that.
Yeah, that's
pill.
Probably the best way to say it,
I'll
that,
just
way.
Put it
yeah,
that way.
That's good enough.
But it works by the same mechanism as.
No, it doesn't, actually, John. No, because I know enough about how regular birth control works that it's not the same.
I could.
John, are you a doctor? I lost him. That's fine. There is a difference. I can tell you this because I've studied it enough to know this, because I have to do some of this for what we do. No, I'm not of that age where I'm going to have kids any longer. So I don't. Richard's over here laughing at me because he's kind of the same way. But so I don't have to study all of that like I once did. But I've got kids, and I've got a daughter-in-law that studies this stuff very, very closely. And I know enough about it to know that, no, they are not one and the same. Anne's over here agreeing with me as well. They're not one and the same. Plan B and regular contraceptives, you know, birth control pills are not one and the same. And by the way, folks, I am not going to get into all of the different beliefs out there in whether or not you should even use birth control, because I realize that there's a lot of different faiths, quote unquote, that look at contraception totally different from one another. That is not a topic I'm ever going to broach here on this program, just so you all know. Not going down that path. Just not doing it. Sorry, Anne.
Come on,
no.
John. Let's have some real fun.
No.
Huh?
There are certain things on this program I will not talk about. That's one of them.
You know what? And I'm right there.
And the reason is because I honestly, there's no cut and dried answer either way. So I'm not going down that path.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just not going to do
that's
it.
That's the danger zone, right?
It's just one of those areas you don't go down. I'll talk about everything other than that, but I'm not going down that path. What I will say, though, is I do think when it comes to what the Supreme Court had to look at today, and if you look at the technological advancements that we now have, in fact, I will tell you that I'm also a guy that believes that I don't think Roe v. Wade has to be done away with to have less abortions on a year-after-year basis. I think the more women especially, even men, learn the development of a baby from the time it's conceived, and they can see those things, and they learn about that, and they're shown those things, and the more they learn and the more they know, the less will happen anyways, just because of what I just said.
Yeah, I have helped a pregnancy crisis center in the Twin Cities, and they have a mobile unit that would go around. And people would fight that because they don't want women to see the ultrasounds.
That's
they don't want them to hear the heartbeats.
Yeah.
Because then they go, oh, that isn't a glob of cells. That's a baby who has a heartbeat.
That's right.
And then when they start feeling them kick and move and...
That's right. All right. Somebody also texted me and said, what are we doing at Artisan Pizza tonight? So real quick, as we got a couple of minutes left of this hour, what are we doing, Ann?
Okay. What we are doing at Artisan Pizza is we are having an event for Richard Battle in his new book, Life's Daily Treasure. And some of our radio show sponsors will be there as well with some giveaways. And everything is on the website, rushtoreason.com/events. But it is a time to meet some of our sponsors. John, Charlie, Andy, and I will be there and just have a really nice evening out.
Yeah. So those of you that are texting me, even just come by. We'll feed you.
Yeah.
Pizza's on me. So come by, get some pizza. I don't know how big the bill is going to be, but whatever. Come
but that's
by.
Okay.
Come by, have some pizza, whatever. It's all
good.
Hey,
I know a guy you can shovel snow for if it's a little too much.
Either way, I'll get her done. So just come by, have some pizza. It'll be a lot of fun. But again, back to the Supreme Court and what they, and I realize they will not have a brief, or they will not have anything written on that and any response to that officially until June. And in fact, you'll not hear a peep or a murmur out of them until then. That's how that works. But I got to believe, with the amount of technology that's out there today, and I don't care if you're a Sotomayor, even if you're her, you've got to look at all of this technology and realize, wait a minute, these guys are saying 15 weeks. I think you can show a baby's viable long before that. So how can they not, make the right call here?
Isn't it 8 days after conception the heart's already beating? Or is it 18, 20?
No, it's right in that neighborhood.
Okay.
It's not that long.
Okay,
They start developing eyelids and even things like they'll start sucking their thumb at a very, very early age.
But just look
age.
At it this way. You ask any five-year-old, you show them an ultrasound, you show them that, they'll say, what is this? They'll go, baby.
Right, they know.
They know. The eyes of the innocent, they know.
It's not hard to figure out, folks.
No.
It really isn't. And again, I like what Hannah said. We have got to be the voice for those babies that cannot speak for themselves. And that's I know the technical term for that is fetus, and I get that. But I think, and even fetus in and of itself means baby, I get that. But I think we've dumbed down the word baby by using fetus instead, even though it's one and the same, and I get that. But when you say fetus, it doesn't sound the same as baby. By the way, you never hear a new mom say, hey, I'm now pregnant with a new fetus. No, that's not what moms say.
No, I concur.
In fact, they call it a baby bump for a reason. They don't call it a fetus bump, do they? They call it a baby bump, guys.
With what you're saying, I concur. And to me, if we just start using the term baby instead of fetus, as many of us that are pro-life,
mm-hmm.
that will help change the dialogue by itself.
Because they're babies, folks.
And I'm going to be intrigued. We've never had a leak out of the Supreme Court. If there's ever a time for news to leak out of the Supreme Court, this will be the case.
I can't disagree with that. 100%. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come right back. Novus Auto Glass, folks. And Zach, by the way, Novus Auto Glass in Parker is donating tonight. You know, you have a chance to win one of these if you come by. 5 windshield repairs he's throwing into the pot. That's $300 out of Zach's pocket because it's $60, $65 a repair roughly, depending upon the extent. So, Zach, thank you very much for doing that. Novus Auto Glass, find a location near you. Go to rushtoreason.com and just click on Novus.
Modern windshields help protect the occupants of your vehicle in the event of a collision, so quality counts. In today's vehicles, your windshield has become a structural component of your car. The glass requires a specific amount of pressure to keep your windshield from literally popping out during impact. Even the quality of the resin that glues your windshield to your frame can make a difference. Since they invented windshield repair in 1972, Novus Auto Glass has continued to perfect their technique. Unlike most of their competitors, Novus can repair cracks up to a foot long without sacrificing the integrity of your windshield. Industry-wide delays in the supply chain have forced manufacturers to limit the quantity of glass they sell to individual shops, so you may need to wait longer for a new windshield. The sooner you contact Novus Auto Glass, the better chance you have at saving money with a repair. Contact a Novus location near you at klzradio.com/glass.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. One other thing I want to add, by the way, and we talked about this in the Crawford Roundtable, is this whole when is a baby viable? Well, I can tell you right now, after, you know, being around my young granddaughter who was just born a couple of weeks ago, Friday it'll be 2 weeks, and I look at my little granddaughter, and you know what? She can't take care of herself, guys. If mom, dad, somebody's not around, grandma, grandpa, whoever, if somebody's not around to make sure that she's fed, cared for, diaper changed, you know, on down the line we go, would she survive, guys?
No.
The answer is no. She won't, because she's a baby, right?
Right.
So inside the womb, outside the womb, to me, there's no difference, folks. A baby is a baby is a baby, and I believe is a person with a soul, and we need to protect that baby.
Exactly. And then you get on the flip side, you get so old, you need help when you get older. You can't take care of yourself with certain things either. So does that mean you're no longer human if we just dehumanize the elderly?
If you ask certain people, they would tell you yes.
Yes.
I'm not one of those, but there's others out there that would tell you that, yes. We had a governor, Governor Lamb here, at one point in time said, you have a duty to die when you get to that age, Ann.
Oh, that's real nice, isn't
it? Yeah, and people forget that, you know, that's where I say Colorado's been a blue state for a very long time because he was governor back in the 70s and said that.
Is a 26-year-old living in the parents' basement viable that can't support him or herself?
Great analogy.
Absolutely not.
Great analogy. All right,
we got
another full hour coming your way. Don't forget to join us tonight at Utterson Pizza right after the show. But this is Rush to Reason. Again, another full hour coming your way, KLZ 560.